holy people, redeemed of the Lord. These words of desire and love expressed by Isaiah on behalf of God is calling us to who we are meant to be. This Christmas day and the joy that should come from it is not rooted in the kind or number of gifts we get, nor in the drink and food we partake in, or the gifts exchanged, or the lights or decorations. The joy of this Christmas meets us at a much deeper place, commensurate with the pain and loss and experiences we've had. In the first reading today, the prophet Isaiah tells us that we are desired, that we are called, that we are not forsaken. How many of us have experienced being forsaken or abandoned? Maybe as a child when our parents went through a divorce, or when we lost a parent, a grandparent, or a child, and though through no fault of their own, we experience a sense of abandonment. My parents are gone, I feel like an orphan. My whole life I've only lived with my parents, and when they're gone, we go through this experience of like feeling like an orphan. Or when we feel forsaken, abandoned by friends, or disavowed by our employer, fired, let go, failing a class, or failing college. We've all experienced on some level what it's like to be forsaken, what it's like to be abandoned. Christ experienced the same. And the joy of this Christmas is to speak to us and into those wounds to tell us that you are not forsaken anymore. Christ is here. We are not abandoned or alone anymore. Christ is here. You know, it's a lot easier to say nice things to people in their moment of sorrow and grief. It's a lot easier to simply send a check to the parish or to some other place. It's much more difficult, and I would argue maybe even more loving, to be present with those people, to accompany them, to serve them by the sweat of your brow, by the tears from your eyes, to let them know that they are not alone. God could have redeemed us from heaven with the snap of his fingers. God could have redeemed and forgiven all sin in any way imaginable and beyond. But today we celebrate the fact that rather than healing us from a distance, rather than saving us from heaven, he enters into our humanity and says, I am with you in the sadness. I am with you in the lie that you have believed that you are forsaken because what has happened to you. You are not forsaken. I am with you. Today we celebrate God as Emmanuel, God with us in the flesh. Paul writes his spiritual son, Titus, telling him and reminding him that when the kindness and generous love of God, our Savior, appeared, it was not because of any righteous deeds we had done, but because of his mercy. God becomes one of us to share in our sorrows, our pains, our poverty, our difficulties, like us in every way but sin. It's a lot easier to just send a check and wish someone well. It's a lot more difficult to get your hands dirty, to cry with them. I remember in the hospital working in the wing of patients in hospice care, for whom there was nothing more that could be done to resuscitate or recover or heal from their illness. A lot was being done for their comfort, but nothing could be done to help them leave that hospital healthy and cured. They were dying. And it's one thing for the doctors to say there's no more we can do. We can feel abandoned, we can feel hopelessness, we can feel lost. But our true friends come to the fore when there's nothing they can do to heal us, but they choose anyway to accompany us, to cry with us, to forgive us, to accept our forgiveness, to be reconciled, to pray, to rest, to watch a show together, to hold our hand, to let us know that even in the sorrow of death and dying, we are not alone. That's where real love manifests itself, by being present to the one who is loved, and not leaving their side, even when there's nothing we can do practically to fix the situation. That's the good news of Christmas, that God is doing precisely that in Jesus and in the Eucharist. He appears to the shepherds not only because they're the most poor and rejected of society, but because it harkens back to the ancestor of Jesus, the great King David, whom God called out of the poverty and simplicity of being a shepherd, the least counted among his father's sons, and raises him up to be the great king that unites Israel and establishes peace and prosperity for God's people. It is that descendant from which Jesus comes through the line of David that is first announced to the Messiah has come. The descendant of the great shepherd who is king, David, is here. Go and worship. And Christ is born in Bethlehem precisely because of the census Caesar required of its citizens of Rome, that they go to the place of their ancestry and register with the government. They went to Bethlehem because Bethlehem is the city of David from which Joseph's descendants come. And Bethlehem in Hebrew literally translates to house of bread. The bread come down from heaven comes to us in the city of the house of bread. It's in the Eucharist day in and day out, in every tabernacle of every Catholic church in the world, that God reminds us, you are not forsaken. You are not abandoned. You are not alone. I, who am infinite and all powerful, choose to humble myself under the appearance of bread, to be truly present to you, body, blood, soul, and divinity, in every tabernacle of every Catholic church throughout the world. Let us go then to Bethlehem. Let us go then to the house of bread. It's what you have done this morning. It's what you do every Sunday, to give thanks to a God who, in spite of our traumas and our pains and our sorrows, our feelings of being forsaken and abandoned, reminds us the truth. We are not. See the infant lying in the manger. See he who was born in the house of bread, hidden in the tabernacle. Behold the Christ child placed into your hands or your tongue at the moment of communion. Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart, because she knew that this Jesus born from her would only be with her for some time, but that he would be with her forever in the gift of the Eucharist. Imagine that Thursday night before his death, as he establishes the new covenant. Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body. Take this, all of you, and drink it. This is my blood. He was telling them, while I am leaving tomorrow, I will always be with you today and every day. That's the joy of Christmas. Not the songs, not the dancing, not the decorations, not the lights. Those are all pale in comparison to the gift that we celebrate today. God is with us. We are no longer forsaken. We are no longer orphaned. We are no longer abandoned. The house of bread has given us Bethlehem, the bread of life, Jesus in the Eucharist. That is the kind and generous love of God our Savior, not because of any of our righteous deeds, but because of his mercy. And so we say with joy and gratitude today and all throughout this Christmas season, Merry Christmas, Emmanuel, God is with us.